I'm Jenna Augustinsky, and I'm holding the reproductive walk in Sackville, New Brunswick on July 3rd at noon to 1:30.
And my name is Tasia Alexopoulos, and I'm the Sexual Violence Prevention and Education Coordinator at Mount Allison University.
Yeah, thanks for speaking to me today. The Sackville Women's March this Sunday is in protest to the U.S. Supreme Court's decision to overturn Roe v. Wade, which means that in the United States there's no longer a legal right to abortion. This has obviously caused shockwaves internationally. What is the significance of this decision, in your view, here in Canada?
I think that it really comes down to anybody with a uterus is affected by this, and whether or not it's our country's law, they are taking away the right and forcing people to give birth to children, and it will affect Canada, whether or not they think it will. A lot of women traveling to different states now could be charged with murder if their child miscarries while they're visiting the USA, as well as if a medical thing happens where they need a miscarriage that isn't being released properly, the abortion's no longer available, and that's the treatment for certain medical procedures done during pregnancy if something goes wrong. So whether or not people think it will affect us, it is going to affect us. And we have U.S. students here at MTA as well.
Yeah, I agree with Jenna, and I think that it's really important that we view any kind of backward step around bodily autonomy anywhere as a backward step everywhere. So, you know, it's not enough to say, oh, well, we in Canada don't, this isn't going to affect us, because when anybody's rights are taken away anywhere, it should affect all of us.
Here in Canada, abortion has been legal since 1988, following the Supreme Court of Canada's decision in the R versus Morgenthal case. And I just wanted to know what that means to you, the legal right to abortion in Canada.
It means a lot to me because it showed that our government was willing to support us, even though a lot of people did disagree with it. Like, there have been pro-life protests, but they've always stood behind us. So coming into 2022 and seeing the country directly on our border take such a step backwards in the wrong direction really makes me worry for our future as well, because it's going to make our politicians act the way they're acting. We already have conservative officials in our government trying to overturn abortion in Canada as well.
I think having the legal right to abortion or the entitlement to abortion in Canada is really, really critical for any kind of, you know, healthy, sustainable life. So in Canada, we are able to have abortions without criminalization. So while we don't have a law, and we don't need a law because abortion is guaranteed to us in the Canada Health Act, we can legally access the procedure, but we can't always logistically access it. So, you know, in 1988, abortion was decriminalized because of the really, really, really hard work of providers and activists for decades. And so what we're seeing now is really scary, because a victory like overturning Roe v. Wade emboldens and empowers people who have those beliefs everywhere. And we've already seen anti-choice organizations and politicians celebrating in Canada. And so what was a really hard fought victory in 1988 isn't a guarantee. And so that's what's really struck me over the past week, and since the Supreme Court leak as well, that we can't take this right for granted, and having a victory like overturning Roe v. Wade really empowers anti-choice folks everywhere.
Thanks for that. It's interesting that you mentioned that there doesn't need to be a law. It's been noted that the Supreme Court of Canada decision didn't actually state that abortions are a fundamental right, but as you say, they're decriminalized. Some pro-choice activists have argued that actually having a law could open the door to more restrictive amendments or create a platform for a constitutional challenge that would bring up these kind of anti-choice arguments sort of more into the mainstream. Is that your view?
Do you want me to answer that? Yeah, I can answer that. Absolutely. So while some folks do argue that having a law would protect the right to abortion in Canada, what we've seen globally and recently in the United States is that laws are much more vulnerable to amendments that could be restrictive or to being overturned, where we could potentially see abortion criminalized. So because right now abortion is regulated as a medical procedure, we don't need a law to protect it. What we need is the government to ensure that each province is providing access as it's meant to under the Canada Health Act. Approaching it as a medical procedure is the safest way to approach the issue because laws are political and abortion is healthcare. It's not a political issue. So, yeah.
I 100% agree that abortion is healthcare. It's not political. Again, I've mentioned that there are so many medical procedures besides somebody terminating their pregnancy as abortion being the solution to dying for women. Taking that away from them is putting them at risk, and you're not actually going to stop abortions from happening. You're just going to open the door for more unsafe abortions, more people getting hurt, more people ending up dying. I think also when the law in the States, Roe v. Wade, was made, the suicide rate of women dropped because they were no longer being forced to give birth or be stuck with partners who were getting them pregnant. And I'm really scared that that's going to increase. The suicide rate of women is going to increase in the USA. It is something that's been on my mind since I found out about them taking the right for people with uteruses to choose their own bodily choices. They just took that from us. And I think it's a huge issue. And I think people are being pretty quiet in Canada about it. So I wanted to make sure that I wasn't quiet about it.
And as far as the situation in New Brunswick, access varies by province. Ottawa has the power to claw back provincial transfers if provinces fail to provide adequate funding, which actually happened in New Brunswick with $140,000 withdrawn for this reason. Just wondering if you could talk briefly about the barriers to reproductive rights in New Brunswick.
I just found out, actually, that there's more fake abortion clinics in Canada than real ones. If you Google abortion clinics, more fake ones will come up of people trying to basically pretend they're an abortion clinic but actually convince you to go through with your pregnancy. And there's only like 3 locations in New Brunswick that offer it as well. So again, even though it's legal and decriminalized and nothing is going to come of that, of us going to jail if we miscarry or get an abortion, that doesn't mean it's fully accessible. It doesn't mean we can easily go there. And for people to say, oh, just cross the state border or just cross the provincial border and go somewhere else, it's unviable for a lot of people. You have to consider that some people who get pregnant are even teenagers and they can't drive or get to an abortion clinic on their own, and they probably don't want to tell their parents about what's going on, and it's their right to remain private and it's their right to have easy access to it, and they don't.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, speaking of New Brunswick in particular, we do have a lot of barriers to access in this province. And as you mentioned, Dave, the federal government has stepped in and said, hey, you can't do this anymore, but they continue to do it. So, you know, $140,000 not being transferred is not a huge amount for the government, and they're able to just ignore that. And they're really ideologically, they're really committed ideologically to this, to being anti-abortion, I think, the New Brunswick government. And they've stated many times, both Premier Higgs and Dorothy Shepherd, that they believe that access is not an issue in New Brunswick. However, in New Brunswick, if you need an abortion and you can't receive it in a hospital, the province doesn't pay for it. So that can be $600 to $1,200 out of pocket. And that's not just in New Brunswick. So if a New Brunswick resident goes to Alberta and needs an abortion in Alberta and they can't go to a hospital, they will pay out of pocket for that procedure. And that's an old regulation that the government could get rid of with the stroke of a pen today. But they refuse to do it. And something like that would make such a big difference, because as we've seen in New Brunswick over the past few years, abortion providers simply can't operate in New Brunswick. It's too much of a financial burden. Clinic 554, which used to be the Morgenthaler Clinic, was forced to severely limit how much access they could provide in the past few years. They closed their doors despite, I would say, people in New Brunswick and across the country literally begging the government, get rid of this regulation, and they refused to do it.
Just going to this regulation, it's basically a funding restriction that means that only specific places can receive funding, and those are some hospitals where abortions, surgical abortions are conducted. Where are those places?
So there's three locations in New Brunswick. Two are in Moncton and one is in Bathurst, and they're all in hospitals. So the regulation, which is Regulation 8420, and I believe it's of the Payment Schedule Act, you know, it's like a part of the health payment provision, states that only hospital procedures are paid for, and that's actually a throwback to when there were still therapeutic abortion committees. So prior to 1988, where you'd actually have to have a hospital therapeutic abortion committee give you access to abortion, you had to apply, and therefore all abortions that were being covered were done in hospitals. Also, until 2014 in New Brunswick, you had to have, I believe, two doctors sign off that your abortion was medically necessary if you wanted it covered by the government or by Medicare. And as many people know, it is not easy to get even one doctor to do something in New Brunswick. So finding two who could sign off on this kind of statement was completely impossible for so many people. And all of that is from the era in Canada when we still had therapeutic abortion committees before 1988.
And I think that the Higgs government says that although surgical abortions are only available in these few places, there's a kind of medication-induced abortion that's available. Any thoughts on that?
Medication abortion is available. It only became legal in Canada in 2017, and it's been available in other countries like France since the 70s. It's a very, very efficient and safe way to have an abortion, but we didn't have access in Canada until 2017, and so it's only been a few years available in Canada, which means the infrastructure for provision is not great. Technically speaking, you should be able to access it in the same way that you access a surgical abortion. Your doctor should be able to prescribe it. You should be able to go to a pharmacy and they should be able to dispense it for you if you're 9 weeks gestational age, including the ninth week. But what we see in New Brunswick is that there are a lot of limitations to accessing medication abortion, including anti-choice doctors. A lot of doctors won't even prescribe their patients birth control, so they're certainly not going to prescribe them medication abortion. There are organizations in Canada specifically dedicated to anti-choice physicians, and so they have the quote-unquote right to decline care as long as they refer you to someone who can give you care, but that's not what happens often. So what we see is folks who don't have doctors to go to, who have anti-choice doctors, or there might not be a pharmacist who's dispensing it in the area. A lot of medical professionals, including pharmacists, also don't know that it's available. So when you go to get your prescription, they might be like, oh, I didn't even know that I could get this. So a lot of pharmacists aren't necessarily keeping it in stock, and it does take upwards of 24 hours to order it and receive it. So there are tons of barriers. In the United States, it's been available much longer, and so their infrastructure for provision is well established and much better. So in the United States right now, medication abortion is a really good option, and you can get it in the mail. In Canada, it's a really different story for medication.
I also just want to add that a lot of women who get abortions as well are already on contraception or are using condoms and practicing safe sex. And I feel like a lot of people don't realize that because you see a lot of arguments, oh, just don't have sex or, you know, choose who you have sex with. But about 50% of them are already doing that. So you're taking away their last line of defense, like their last option to not have a child because they've already used the pill or they've already used a condom. And that's not fair. You're just taking away the last line of defense for the person with the uterus to access something so safely. And it, again, like I said before, it's just going to make people go to dangerous people in back alley doctors and doctors that are practicing in private. because they're still going to want to get abortions. They're still going to want to not give birth. They're still going to want to hide that from people. And now the only option is going to be an unsafe option. So them banning abortion isn't actually going to stop abortion. And I think that's what it really comes down to. And I think they need to realize that as well. And maybe they do, because maybe they don't care that we're going to die. But I just think that they need to sit down and reconsider the fact that they want to now ban contraception as well. Why? I would like to know why.
And just wrapping up here, the Reproductive Rights March is happening on Sunday. Can you talk about, you know, the when and the where, and how people can find out more information, what's planned?
Yeah, so it's going to take place on Sunday, July 3rd, and around noon we're going to meet at the crosswalk that's on York Street. That's a rainbow crosswalk. It's right across from the Owen Art Gallery. And we're going to meet there, and we're going to have a couple speakers, and they're going to provide information. We're actually handing out little pamphlets so people know where to go to access information. And we're also accepting donations, and just whatever you can afford, throw some change in. You get a sticker in return, and the donations go, so that way people can access abortion safely. And Shannon, what is her last name? Shannon Hardy is coming as well to speak. She's coming from Halifax. And we're going to march just from there, just to City Hall around like 1 o'clock.
Well, thanks so much for speaking to me. Anything else to add before we wrap up?
Do you want to add what donation it's going to?
Oh, yeah, sure. So the stickers that we're selling for donation at the walk are Abortion Rights Coalition of Canada stickers, but the donations are being made to Abortion Support Services Atlantic, which provides funding, support, and a whole network of provision for folks who are looking for abortions in Atlantic Canada.